Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million. Didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm Tom Alley, Mr. Mail Barber. On the board, SP Futures up 5.25, Dow Futures up 50, NASDAQ Futures up 20. This is after a very strong day yesterday to end the third quarter of the year. Very slow, the Jewish holidays of with Rosh Hashanah, and even though the usual thing, sell Rosh Hashanah, buy Yom Kippur, evidently we're buying Rosh Hashanah. So, do we have Steph with us?
Not yet.
I'm sure she will call in, Stephanie Koenig. It's a very interesting, very slow, but just up all day, big day out of Apple. I'm absolutely stunned with all the stuff going on with China. Not that, you know, it's not a good thing. I can't imagine that if I were to pick, trade talks going to this level with China, the two stocks that are performing the best, that would be Apple and Nike. To me, that's so counterintuitive, Maddie. I don't know enough about where they're moving their business and what they're doing and are there places they can offload. Those would not be the two places I would pick to immediately 2 years ago to say, we're going to have all these problems with China. What two stocks you want to buy? I'd pick the two stocks that have probably the biggest exposure over there. I mean, I know that we have a president who loves to give favors to people. I'm not, so the fact that Tim Cook and he are buddies has allowed them to, you know, to dodge a lot of the tariff stuff, which I think is unconscionable. I mean, the idea that you, and then he actually came out and said that he, you know, Tim Cook gave him a good story. I'm going to say every single person that is affected by these tariffs can give you a good story. And yet the only ones you listen to are the ones that you do something for. And that is so not me. Steph, how are you? Save me from this.
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. I was just commenting that if 2 years ago, if you would have said that the China thing would still be going on, probably the two stocks I would not have bought would be Nike and Apple. And yet those are the two that are doing the best. And I don't understand what kind of get out of jail free card they seem to have from the president personally or whatever. But I don't know that you drop a pestilence on the land and the people that come see you let them grow crops. I mean, I don't what to the whole let's just say it's not my way of government. But anyway, that's what we have. And those kind of stocks are doing well. So
I think for me the big issue is just that it's not a fair playing field for our own companies, and some are being singled out to help, and some aren't. And it's all because of who you know, basically, and how much money you have. So I just don't like those odds.
No.
Sounds like my entire lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
probably way before that.
I don't know that it's all that new. It just seems like it's
more blatant.
It's more blatant. Or maybe one of the things we can credit Mr. Trump with is that the stuff is so blatant, and by accusing other people of what they've done, most of his accusations are pretty spot on, and by doing stuff himself, he's basically let the world bare for the anybody who cares to watch and listen. A lot of people refuse to watch and listen. What are the three kinds of people in the world, Steph, from your trading floor days?
You have got the saying. I don't remember.
Some people make things happen. Some people watch things happen, and most people wonder what happened.
See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
Yes, something along those lines too. Sergeant Schultz, I see nothing. So here we are. Are we gonna? I really don't recall. Although it was a long time ago, that when Clinton was doing being impeached, or they're doing the investigation of the guy being on the air, you know, seemingly all day long, calling all the people who are investigating him traitors and crooks.
No. Well, I mean, the Clintons had a different strategy. They didn't go out and they were not as public with this discussion. I mean, they made it very clear that the White House was going to go on and continue to govern while this was only this was compartmentalized, right?
So, right.
Trump has taken the other approach, which is there's no difference between me and what goes on with me and the problems I have versus the way the government functions.
Well, that's been the attitude the whole way. I am the government.
Right. But I heard an interesting analysis about the treason discussion, which I don't know whether it's 100% accurate or not, but it sounded pretty likely. My husband will help me watch it since he's an attorney. I assume he would have spoken up if it wasn't. But that no one can actually be charged with treason these days, because the only people that can be charged with treason is people who are against, who are aiding and abetting our enemies, right? And the only people defined as enemies in the law of the land would be those we've proclaimed war against. And since we have not declared war against anyone since World War II, technically they cannot charge anyone with treason. So
who do we have on yesterday? Carl, the only crime that's actually defined in the Constitution.
Correct. But you need two burdens of proof, which pretty much means you need someone to claim that they've done it in addition to proof. So it's one of the very, very hard ones to prove, too.
Yeah, but just having you have a president who thinks that you really do, you do swear to him, so anything against that is, all dictators think that if you defy them, it's treason, because they are the government.
Correct. And, we have a president who does believe he is God.
Yeah, and he said so on a couple of occasions. I don't know, it's so scary to me. But I will say this, Steph, I'm not for necessarily the impeachment thing. It's just time to get a candidate out there and win. I don't, whether it's a third-party guy or whoever it is, if it's bad enough, I think somebody in the Republican Party should run against them. And that's how the system, I think, is supposed to work. Why is that not working? I mean, it isn't.
I think part of the problem here is, I agree with you in principle, but I think part of the problem is the system's not working because the people who have, swore fidelity or swore that they are supporting the president is, Barr, who's in charge of our investigative branch, and so that's not supposed to be that way. He's supposed to be independent. It looks like aspects of the FBI leadership now, since the head of Congress, or the head of, I should say, the Senate, and so these groups were supposed to be independent. However, we have either a charismatic, or people are doing things for their own well-being, but a charismatic leader, or things that people are doing things for their own well-being, but he's really collecting fans.
I first got a shock at this, and it was a shock about when I worked for Nancy Sheehan years ago to run for treasurer of the state of Illinois. So I learned a little bit, not that much, but you look at the election numbers. Even if the Trumpkins have made their way down to 25% or so, which I don't know if they have. It's probably still like 30.
Oh, I think they're 32.
Well, so say it's even 20 or 25. Even though that wouldn't affect you, it wouldn't, it wouldn't make you afraid to run in a general election. It really would make you afraid to run in a primary. I mean, if you're a Republican, especially in this day and age where a lot of people don't show up in a lot of states, I mean, if you know that the 20% is going to show up for the other guy, you really have a problem trying to win. I'm talking now as a Republican, not as a Democrat, because probably if you're a Democrat, there's going to be you know, 20% of the people that somehow stumbled out of their house and hit the Democratic, I was going to say pull the Democratic lever, but that would be, that would really be showing my age. Although that number is down dramatically. I mean, it used to be, you know, every Irish person in the South Side would just hit the, you know, the Democratic button. Well, I won't say every, but most. And, so I mean, but you really can't run against that in a primary. I mean, I honestly believe that, I mean, in Chicago, you look at Mayor Lightfoot, and I wish her luck, and I don't have anything horrible to say about her. I think she's bright and all that other good stuff. I mean, I think that the fact that she got 90,000 votes in the primary, and I'm going to say, well, without going out on a limb and walking off a plank, I'm going to say 40 or 50,000 were from the LBG, whatever the hell it is, community, right?
LBGT, yeah.
Yeah, however many letters you got to put after it. Okay, so if 90,000 is the vote total you need, or 95, and you can get 50 just because you're in that group, and I have no problem with that. I mean, obviously, if you're Irish Catholic, maybe you're going to get 50 from that group. I mean, right? If you got an Irish name.
Yep.
I mean, so it's not like it's, you know. But I mean, if the numbers start dropping down, and you have this, I mean, how many people, if somebody runs against him in a primary, and he has the 20%.
There are a couple.
Yeah, but how many people are going to show up to overcome the 20%?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to overcome the 20%, but I think it is. I think your point stands.
I think, Steph, unfortunately,
then is in the general, do you have enough to?
It all comes down in a lot of ways. You know, it comes down to numbers. I mean, it, like everything in life, unfortunately, or most everything. Hopefully, not everything, but. It does come down to numbers. Of course, the more awards a coach, you when it comes to love, if you got dough, they'll work with you. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a across the board description, but you know, you're looking at those numbers and you're saying, how do I run up that pole? You mean you just don't? I mean, you don't if you're if you're going to run for judge, you know, you want your name to be O'Reilly, Katie O'Reilly, more than you do. You want God knows what else, even in this day.
Oh, that's why my husband wanted to name my daughter Molly Malone.
Okay, well, yeah, we just had it. We just had a judge. We just birthed a judge.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's changing some. I mean, you do see some Hispanics in there now, and obviously there's some African American judges and so forth. It's changing some, but you know, it still helps a little bit. So you've got the electoral thing is you're very conscious of how many people don't vote. And, you know, and the Democrats have to have, unlike the Republicans, and this is a serious weakness the Democrats have, and, you know, I don't care if the head of the party was sitting here, people will send money and support the Republican person because they think there's some sort of I'll use the term platform there. You know, low taxes, low this, anti-abortion. You know, that has been the platform. Now, this guy set the topsy-turvy up. In terms of, I don't know what his platform is. Half the time it's Republican, half the time it's not. But the Republicans are afraid to go against him because he's a demagogue in a lot of ways, and people follow him. Some people do. Some people can't stand him.
Because he punishes anyone who doesn't.
Right.
And he gets away with punishing anyone
right.
who doesn't, just like the Ukraine thing, which
yeah.
is an example of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to come flat out, and then he'll say that this guy didn't vote for me on something, something, so you don't want to run him here. Here's some lunatic that's running against him and vote for him. And it's,
yeah.
You know, I never thought anything like this would work in America, but it has worked in Chicago, right? I mean, if you're the precinct captain, doesn't get out the vote, you're no longer the precinct captain. I mean, it's definitely been a somewhat of a strict operation here. You don't vote against Tony Preckwinkle and get the best job or the best contract. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Until people, but the interesting part is why don't people, the biggest, to me, as I age, the biggest weakness in democracy is the fact that people don't use it. I mean, if you sit down, I mean, how many Republicans in Chicago, not only just Republicans, regular citizens, are aghast at what the employee unions have done to the city? I mean, in
a lot of the big businessmen are.
Well, they get some benefits too sometimes, but
I know.
But the point is, I mean, I mean, the teachers have the absolute stones to go on strike in the last 20
years. Every year, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, this year, do you think the regular teachers actually give a rat's behind if they have another nurse in the school? I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, it's all. But the point being is, and if you look at the last 20 years, you look at the increases in teachers' salaries, pensions, vacations, you name it, versus a regular person. And I'm not saying it's huge, but compared to a regular person, any kind of relative scale is off the chart so far that you can't even find it. Right, and yet,
yeah, because most people didn't get a raise for you know, at least 8 years.
But in the rest of the world, in a perfect world, that shouldn't make any difference. But in a world when those people are paying your salary, it clearly does make a difference. I mean, right? I mean,
yes.
Okay, you five people are paying for me to be security in this business, in this building. By the way, I want a raise. Yeah, but none of us have gotten a raise. I don't care. I want a raise. But there's only five of us paying you. We don't have any more money. Doesn't matter. I need a raise. Well, go. Get the hell out of it. But the simple solution, Steph, the simple democratic solution is for somebody like you or me or somebody we know, God, I hope it wouldn't be me, is to run for mayor and say, this cannot stand. I'm going to change these pensions. I'm going to stop this egregious relative, problem in relativity. I'm going to stop this. And the other people bring, 250,000 votes to the table? 200, maybe, if they really got a hair up there behind? Police, fire, city workers, they bring 200,000 votes to the table. Well, the way you do this in a democracy is for you to get 300 and tell them to shut the bleep up, because now you're going to do it your way. Right? But that'll never happen, because the other side, all they want to do is complain. They won't ever actually work to do it the democratic way. So most of the stuff that people bitch about is collectively, not individually, collectively their own damn fault. Right? I mean, there's plenty of votes in Chicago.
This is a great example. We had the Mueller investigation for basically doing the same thing that's being discussed in the Ukraine thing that's being discussed in...
not really.
You know, well, yeah, it's a request to tamper with our election.
No, this has nothing...
So at a high level, it is.
This has nothing really to do with that had to do with a certain case in time. It had to do with the last election. This has to do,
of course,
with essentially extortion on a political level, whether they have evidence or not. I don't know, but it has to do with extorting help from people to go after opponents and to promote yourself rather than promote the U.S.
Right, but it has to do with affecting this coming election in a way that goes against
right.
The legal proceedings of how we do elections. So, I mean, I don't disagree with your analysis of it. I'm just saying at a very high level, it's, I just got done being looked at for the last election. Let me go try and influence this election using foreign power to try and do so. And, yes, maybe not logging in and changing people's opinions in the U.S. like the Russians did, but it's basically going after my opponents to change people's opinions by getting someone outside of this country to support my, conspiracy theories about my opponent.
I think it has a lot to do maybe with business. But I've had a couple of Trumpies this weekend tell me he's a businessman. What's the problem? I cannot imagine, even though he had his own foibles, I can't imagine John Kennedy going over to Germany and saying, and working hard for the Germans. I am a Berliner, and let's, dealing with that mess when Berlin was still behind the Berlin Wall and all that kind of stuff. I can't imagine going over there and talking to them about buying scotch at the company sells. Or his dad sells, even though he was in a wheelchair.
Yep.
But I can't imagine him opening that up to the thing. But, maybe he did, Steph. I don't think he did. But it was just, that's something you just didn't do. There's absolutely no rule for this dude. I mean, there just isn't. I mean, they had a linguist on yesterday I was listening to. He was, interesting. He was trying to analyze Trump's, He said he goes
five words he uses.
Well, no, but he said it, virtually everybody. Even if you go back to if you do you read speeches by some of the despots and bad leaders and everything. He goes, there's an adolescent way of talking you might do with your pals, but whenever you go into like a business meeting or someplace, you up your linguistic game. Mm-hmm. There's a way you talk at different levels to people for different reasons. He goes, the man has no difference, no matter who he's talking to. He goes,
babies can understand his.
Well, but that's part of the appeal, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But the guy says, I've never seen anything like it. that a person will be in the elevator joking with his buddies and walk out and give a business speech, and it's the same talk. Because it's unique, to say the least. I mean, most people will, drop the swear word. Well, not that he doesn't swear, but you up the grammar. You don't repeat stuff. And it's interesting. But I don't think that we need, I honestly don't believe, Steph, I think this impeachment thing's a bad idea. I don't see why now. I mean, we're within a spitting distance of the election. What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. The Democrats seem to like to shoot themselves in the feet, and they seem to be doing it again.
Well, do you think they actually have enough to where the Republicans are going to say, I didn't know you went this far?
So, I don't know. Having not been I was not a Nancy Pelosi particular huge fan until recently. But I have to say, her handling of some things I've been incredibly impressed with. But maybe there's something there that I don't know, because she seems to usually be relatively level-headed and incredibly strategic. So maybe there's something we don't know.
Well, is there any chance, Steph, as I talked about yesterday, that I have two hopes in this whole mess, and I'm sure both of them will be blown up. My one hope is that the Democrats in Congress, when they get to the judiciary and the... two things. The fact that the Judiciary Committee and this, whatever the Intelligence Committee are on this too, I wonder if something's going to come out of there. But anyway, if there isn't enough evidence, I want the Democrats to say, it was an investigation, we did our constitutional job, by the way, there's not enough here to go forward. I hope if that's the case, they have the stones to say that, and I doubt that it is. And if it goes to the Senate and they actually do have a case, the Republicans in the Senate could say, I was with you, Donald, but this is too much. You're out of here. Is there any chance that the system stuff could actually work?
I don't know. History says it can. It has in the past. The question really becomes is, in my opinion, is Mitch McConnell going to, do the right thing or not? Because it seems to be that people follow his lead. And when is the tipping point?
Well, I don't know if it's him. If Nixon's is any example, there'd be five or six senators who go over to the White House and say, I just can't go with you.
Oh, yeah, there's that. But I think, at the moment, Mitch keeps pulling them back under his wing.
Well, that's true. I mean, guys, Steph, so how's everything going with you? I was on a water cruise last night in Lake Michigan, or Lake Bend River. It was interesting.
How was that?
It was a little electric boat thing. I'll tell you about it when I see you. I don't think you'd want to be selling insurance for this, but it was a lot of fun.
I went on the river boat, the architectural boat tour twice in the last month.
Well, we were dodging those kind of boats.
Yeah, was this one of those pedal boats?
No, not that. You had a little electric motor.
Oh, okay.
It was actually one you pedal. We saw that one. Nobody was in it pedaling. All right, Steph, take care of yourself. Come back. We'll have Mr. Joel Encanon, S&P Futures up 5. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities.
Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands. But you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again. Are you one of the millions of people who...
Stocks! Jocks!
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks!
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. My name is Mr. Brett Weber on the board. We're going to do Joel on count in a few minutes. S&P futures up 7 now, NASDAQ futures up 25. We're up yesterday, we're up again today, it looks like. Dow futures up 50. Over in Asia, we have the Nikkei up 123.6%, Shanghai down 26. You know what? They might be close, because that was the same number as yesterday. Hang Seng up 137.5%. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down 20.2%, FTSE down 29.4%, CAC around down 14.2%. We got bonds, we've got the 10-year 1.72, that's up 5 basis points, that's a lot. Bund down minus 0.53, is this going towards zero again, instead of the other way. Japan, wow, here's a number. Minus 1.6, that's up 5 basis points, that's the highest we've seen since we've been given this number. That's very interesting. Oil, now up 62 cents, 54.69. Brent up 53, 59.78. RBOB gas, 158, maybe. So when you go buy gas for like $2.99, $3.05, I mentioned to the guy, he's like double RBOB. They were $2.43 in Indiana. Just saying.
Yikes.
Just saying. Silver up 17 cents, 17.17. Gold up 2.20. So they bounced a little bit. What do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We already have a couple of issues, both on I-90. One, the Jane Addams inbound just before Lee Street. The two left lanes are blocked due to a vehicle fire. This is causing significant congestion out on I-90 heading inbound on the Jane Addams Tollway. Further inbound, we actually saw this. It's still on the screen here. A stalled car is blocking the right lane on the Kennedy inbound just before Ohio Street. So O'Hare to downtown is now built up to 57 minutes, which is not good for this hour. From Montrose, 37 minutes. Express lanes are at 25 minutes. So if you can get into the express lanes, we would advise that because of major congestion on the Kennedy already. No issues coming in on the Eisenhower, though traffic's starting to build. Same for the Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking good. Suburban tollways are all quiet. Weather today, another hot Indian summer day, if you can still say that. A high of 85.
Whoa. This is not an Indian summer day.
Yeah, it is.
What's your definition of Indian summer? Why do I have to cancel the...
Well, is the definition that there has to be a frost and then it gets warm again?
Yes.
Okay, so then I guess it's not technically. My definition is when it's hot as hell in the fall.
Yes. Well, you see the Indian summer, yeah, the pictures are all, it's warm, but everything in the field is dead.
Yes. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Partly cloudy, steamy, hot, just like yesterday, a high of 85 degrees, which is 17 degrees above normal for this time of year. Right now, it's mostly clear and 73 downtown, and we have one of those rare instances where it's actually warmer in Chicago than it is in Phoenix. Sunny with a high of 89 today, but right now it's only 64 degrees in Phoenix, 9 degrees cooler than it is here in Chicago. In sports, the Bears got their news regarding Mitchell Trubisky. It was a dislocated left shoulder and a partially torn labrum that will not require any sort of surgery. So he will miss Sunday's game in London against the Raiders, and then the Bears have their bye week, and he's expected to potentially play right after that. So he would really just miss the Vikings game that he missed on Sunday and then one other game. And then he should be good to go. So that's good news for Bears fans. Bears, of course, are 3-1, tied atop the NFC North. Monday Night Football last night, it was the Steelers all over the Bengals, 27-3 in a battle of 0-3 teams. And the Major League Baseball playoffs get underway tonight. The NL wildcard game is the lone star of the evening. It'll be the Brewers at the Nationals. That's 7:08 Chicago time first pitch. The AL wildcard game is tomorrow, Rays at the A's. Chief.
By the way, do you think we should... Joel, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. With your outfit in the temple, there wasn't much trading yesterday.
No. It was kind of quiet, but how you guys doing? Everyone doing good there?
Yeah, I went on a bizarre thing last night for Dr. J's birthday. I had, in my wildest dreams in this world where everything is, you know, litigious, we rented a boat on the, well, he did, rented a little boat on the Chicago River, and you drive it yourself. And they give you a little video, and, you know, make sure this driver's sober, and off you go out into this massive amount of traffic with all these other big boats and barges.
No way. How big was the boat?
We had the biggest one, and it was like maybe 20 feet, and it held 12 people. They got them down to ones where they only hold six.
And who drove the boat?
Dr. J for a while, and then this other guy, but I was ready to pile in. And the guy says, make sure the guy driving the boat isn't drinking while he's driving the boat. So if you switch off driver, just make sure while he's in that seat, he's not drinking. Okay.
Wow, that doesn't sound like a very safe excursion, but I hope you had fun.
No, we were fine. Jen wasn't drinking, but because he had a fly out this morning at 6 o'clock. But we were on the way down south, and all of a sudden, here's a huge shore, and there's this big ass barge behind us. We had to scoot over pretty quick. But I tell you what an amazing way to see the river and the buildings, and it's gorgeous. I mean, Chicago's gorgeous.
I miss the Windy City. I haven't been there in a while.
Well, when you come, we should do this because it's fun. Or we could take one of the bigger ones, but take the architectural ones and stuff. But
Did you guys have life jackets on?
They were there if we needed them, but nobody was wearing them. If this thing would have got conked over, there's no way you wouldn't have been in the water before you could find it.
Did you go into the lake?
No, you can't go through the lock if you don't have a. The lake is now like 4 feet above the river, so going through the lock, you got to know what you're doing. You got to tie up. It wasn't obvious where the lines were, so I'm sure they would have brought lines with. You got to tie up and everything else. I've done that, but when I've done it, it was only a foot and a half. Now it's like four. The lake is incredibly high.
High water, no global warming now.
Oh, yeah, no. Another 10 feet, maybe we'll take out the downtown. You know, who's to say you can't get that high? So, Joe, what do you make of, I was saying earlier, good thing I'm not a stock picker because, you know, I stick with the indices and,
I
would have, if you would have said 2 years ago, Chief, now there's going to be this trade war with China, tariffs out the behind, and everything else, I'm going to say the two stocks I would not have owned would be Apple and Nike, and by far they've been the best performers.
By far the best. Same way here, Chief. A little bit of a closet indexer. It's just so hard. My buddy picks the stocks and gets whacked on things. I do have a few individual issues there, but, you know, nothing wrong. I mean, some people say, you know, you go with the averages, you get average returns, but, you know, that's all I'm shooting for. 5%, 6%, 7%, 4%, you know, down years, I'm a little bit more conservative. But no, resilience yesterday in the market. We are hanging in here after the quad, which up right near all-time highs. Little weakness on Friday. There's the old Friday low, you know, trick at the end of the week, rally on Monday. Still need to get back and take out those new all-time highs, but it's just staying, you know, staying here, I think, is a good thing, because last few times we pumped up to over 3,000, we've had some pretty good sobs. This time, we're just hanging tough, and as you're right, Apple leading the way, and also Nike. I mean, those are two bellwether stocks.
What do you have to say about when you get somebody like Carl Dunninger on yesterday, and who knows the numbers, the bad numbers, worse than me? So I love to have mine, but I only do it like every couple of weeks because I don't need anybody with worse.
You'd be depressed.
No, but Carl's by far one of the most brilliant people I ever met. But I don't get how this honestly is still hanging together. I mean, I want it to. I want the market to hang in there. I want the economy to grow into it. But for God's sake, Joel, the amount of debt is just, and the amount of money the Federal Reserve is still pushing 8% into the market on the money supply. I mean, I don't see how long they can, I mean, obviously it's way longer than I thought, but the debt levels all over the place they're beyond anything. It's not like they're pausing and we're growing. They're growing faster than we are still. I mean, I'm happy that nothing bad has happened. I hope nothing bad does happen. But some things, I believe, have to happen for that to happen, which is, you know, at least the debt growth stops a little bit, and by the way, we grow a little bit. And do you see any of that? I just don't. I mean, how many more people, I mean, Maddie Wilmer and I were talking on the way in, the building in Chicago is unbelievable. Yet how many people, I remember having this discussion with my, I know I'm skipping around here, my significant other who's in real estate. She comes on all the time, Watery, she's terrific. And by the way, she's about as good a real estate person and loves everybody she works with. I mean, it's pretty neat. But back in 2008, I'm reading this thing, Joel, and the to buy a home at the current price, and the mortgage is a little higher, you needed $85,000 a year to meet the mortgage payment, the taxes, and the the insurance. This is after somebody gave you the money for 20% down, right? So that's free and clear. And yet, I looked at, there was only 15% of society made $85,000 a year. So I look at those numbers and I go, this is unsustainable. The numbers tell me that. And now, here we are, however many years later, 10, 11 years later, and the house probably has, the price has gone up, the mortgage rates have gone down. But still, I gotta believe that you need $85,000, $90,000, certainly to rent a $2,500 apartment here in Chicago, one bedroom downtown, or $2,800 or $3,000 or whatever it is. I don't see the numbers matching, Joel. I just don't. I hope they do, and I hope that Google's paying everybody $100,000 a year and they got 50,000 people working. But I honestly do. I mean, this is America. I love going down the river and saying, this is my city. Look at these gorgeous buildings. I don't want to know that every single one of them is mortgaged up to behind and they're in hack. You know, I mean, I don't. I'd like to see, but I don't see these numbers matching even now, Joel. I just don't.
You know what, Chief? I think I'm just going to have to go with what my buddy Dennis says, and he's on the show, and we're talking about these high P.E. stocks, and it's fine when they're going up, you know, and P.E. doesn't matter, doesn't mean anything until it matters, right?
Yep.
So I'm just going to go with that. I mean, everything's fine, and then it's not. So, I mean, because that's the position you have to take in this market, or else you just, you know, you're fighting the trend. You're fighting an uphill market.
Oh, I'm not fighting it at all.
It's going to matter when it matters. Michigan, discount that victory, 52-0. That was Rutgers. Iowa coming in, balanced offense. Iowa always gives us a hard time. This is the true test. That Rutgers game doesn't mean anything at all. It's what we going to do against Iowa.
What's the average? 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yep. Listen to this gauntlet. Well, we have Iowa, and then we're on the road at Illinois. Then we're on the road at Penn State, and then we got you guys at home. So, yeah, you know, you can be happy about that 52-0 victory, but it really doesn't mean anything against.
Well, if we don't stop Illinois, you might have to reach for the short sword.
Okay. All right. Go Blue. I'll check with you guys on Tuesday.
All right. Take care, man. SP Futures up 550. The other Futures 19. Come back. Love, Mr. Kenny Pulcari.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm smiling. Mr. Mel Weber on the board. SP Futures up 575. NASDAQ Futures up 20. We're trying to follow up on yesterday's pretty big move up on Rosh Hashanah. Today you're supposed to be selling, but if you were selling yesterday, there are plenty of people that were willing to buy from you. Let's put it this way. Kenny, how are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Hey, we need your quick opinion before we talk about the important things of the world. If we were to like get some stuff for the contributors to Stocks and Jocks and have it available for listeners at a huge profit margin, by the way, we do like the president would do, would you go with a camouflage type of jacket where they say your camo isn't the color, it's a way of life? kind of a light camo jacket, or should we do something more in the concealed carry motif?
I'd go for the camouflage. I would do the concealed carry. I'd go for the camouflage.
Now, what if I were to write a letter to Duluth Trading and say, could you make the camo somewhat of a concealed carry with a fake pocket on the one side?
Yeah, you could try that.
That way we'd cover all the bases. I love this line, though. Camo isn't a color, it's a way of life. I would never have thought of that. See, I could never be a marketing guy, Kenny. I have no imagination about that stuff. I have enough trouble imagining the market. I was mentioning to Joel, I can't believe that the two biggest moving stocks with the China problems are Nike and Apple, the two places that probably have the big exposure in China.
Yeah.
So have you figured this out? Have you figured this market out and can explain to us what's happening?
Well, listen, here's what I got. Yesterday, you have to remember, not only was it month end, it was quarter end, right? So there's going to be a lot of window dressing and bargain hunting as some of these portfolio managers looking to take some of these beaten up names, put them in the portfolio, so when they send out their quarter end statements, you know, it looks like they're paying attention and that they're taking advantage of some of the sales on Wall Street and names that have gotten kind of unusually clocked. And now we're into October, the final 3 months of the year. You've already got earnings. You know, they're already talking about earnings, which start next week. And the forward guidance, which everyone expects to be good. They're talking about a very solid, strong shopping, Christmas holiday shopping season and how good the consumer is. And so everything's positive. And don't forget, the Fed's going to cut rates again in October. So that's going to keep the party going, unless there's some kind of black swan event that nobody sees coming, which I'm sure is probably not going to happen, because I can't see what that could possibly, even the impeachment, you know, is going to drag out beyond the end of the year, the inquiry or the impeachment. Although it seems to be getting very interesting this morning. I'm just seeing headlines now about Giuliani throwing everyone under the bus, from Obama to Clinton to Soros. I just have to find that story to see what it's all about.
You're going to find your name in there one of these days.
No, please don't say that.
they're throwing everybody in there. It's going to be, pretty soon it'll be Kennedy, LBJ. Do you believe what crooks these guys were being? Well, it's not. I've been kind of. I don't know, Kenny. I'll be very brief, but I've been kind of ranting all week about when somebody's accused of something. Your kid, if you're 80, doing 85 and a 70, it's not about the guy you saw yesterday going 90. It's about you.
That's correct. And so we'll see. You know, that story certainly is going to that'll create some drama and some headlines today and maybe through the week, depending on what Giuliani has to say. Like I said, I only saw the headlines of that story. I haven't read it yet. So it'll be interesting to see how he starts to drag everyone else into the story. But one way or the other, I think the market continues to be in a good place. I think the U.S. economy continues to be in a good place. I don't see, you know, remember a month and a half ago, there was all this panic over the inverted yield curve and the coming recession, and oh my God, batten down the hatches and throw everything out the window. It's baloney. It's not near us. It's not coming. Is it going to come? Yes, we'll have a recession at some point. Is it here today? Is it here tomorrow? Absolutely not. And right now, the economy feels good. And by the way, where else are investors really going to go as they chase yields, right? Yields are, bond yields around the world are negative. We're still positive. And if you're looking for equity exposure, where else to go but the U.S. capital markets that, you know, have been performing really well. The U.S. economy is strong. And once you throw in dividends into the S&P 500, we're over 21% for the year so far. And at the moment, I don't really think you're going to see that repeat performance of last year this year, partly because the Fed's already come out to say, look, we're expect another rate cut in October, right? We're going to stand right behind you. We're basically going to put a floor under the market. And so it's off to the races.
Kenny, how do you, what you just said, by the way, is I'm going to say I agree with you 100% on chessboard number one.
Yep.
The chessboard, either below it or above it, probably below it, is Carl Denninger, who was on yesterday, talking about that's all well and good. The debt, increase in debt on every level is not only staying the same, it's increasing to the point where he doesn't see how in the world we go another 3 years without some sort of a massive collision between debt on every level and the fact that if you start making people even pay for it remotely, that the it's got to take the economy and put it in the rat hole.
Okay, so listen, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just not saying it's happening today, tomorrow, or this quarter.
I'm with you.
Right? I agree with them. I think it's not a go. Look, all this is look what they're already talking about today on the on TV is about the this whole WeWork disaster, and now how New York City is going to have to brace for this coming slowdown. They're already talking about some WeWork building that he bought years ago for $70 million, and he's got debt on it of $80 million, and he's trying to sell for $110 million, and you know it's all slowing down, and that's going to the New York real estate market's going to get hit. That's going to be that'll be the canary in the coal mine, and I think that will happen, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime in the near future.
Well, I mean. I think there's a lot of people you see on TV, you included, that, I guess what I'm saying, I've been doing this a real long time, Kenny, and I've seen issues to the plus side, I've seen issues to the downside, and I've always been stunned about when they don't happen and when they happen. All of a sudden, one day, it's never been at any time when anybody, you got a lot of younger guys, and you're younger than me, but younger guys on the financial news that are absolutely convinced that they're going to get the memo. And I've never gotten the memo. I mean, I didn't, when we were the other way, when the market was at 800 back in 81 or 82, I thought, boy, every day people are going to see the fact that we're too low. These interest rates are going to start coming down, and you got to get these stocks. For God's sake, some of them were paying, talk about paying interest, paying dividends. I mean, there were guys who were trading for $20 that were sending out a dividend of $2. And yet it was, I to this day, I don't know why it happened on the day it happened. I mean, why does everybody think that somehow it's going to be predictable? I don't.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to be predictable. I think, back in 1982, you remember it. I mean, there was that where the economy was just in a disaster, and interest rates were 21%, and unemployment was 13%, and inflation was 10%. At some point, somebody had to do something. Reagan, they had just passed the Reagan tax reform package, right? And they had to do something. And that rumor that started to circulate around the street on the Monday about the Fed coming out with a surprise announcement on Tuesday, which no one really believed because the Fed never made surprise announcements, right?
No.
Like they came out on Thursday morning, they said what they said, they opened the door, they made their announcement, they turned on, they walked away. They didn't hold your hand, they didn't give you a Xanax, they didn't ask you to lie down on the couch and let's talk about it, are you okay with this? They just came out, they said it, and boom, the market had to respond. And so on that Tuesday morning when they came out, in fact, it was a surprise announcement, and they caught the market quite by surprise, as you remember, with that announcement that they were cutting rates by 10%, as well as a range of other issues, and the market just exploded. It exploded higher and did so for the next 20 years, right, until the almost the turn of the century when you had the dot-com crash and bubble.
Well, with the politics right now, my concern is the Fed's not going to see the error of their ways and actually do it normally. I mean, right now they're pouring 8% money supply into their place. Why?
I hear you. But yeah. I think, and I said, you and I have said this before, I think the Fed, and I hate to say it, because the Fed should be an independent agency, but I think the Fed feels beholden to not only all the crap they're taking from the White House administration, but also all the crap that the algos in the market, if the market stamps its feet and doesn't get its way, I think the Fed is feeling responsible. Because if he doesn't do what the market wants now, then they will tar and feather him and hold him up, and they'll blame him for everything like they did last October.
Yep.
When he said rates, he thought the next move in rates was higher, not lower, and the market had a complete meltdown. And a hissy fit and stamped its feet until the Fed came out and said, okay, maybe we made a mistake, right?
So what does he want?
And then all of a sudden it was all good.
He wants to lower rates and have us go down that day because everybody knows it's the wrong idea?
Yeah, it's just out of control. And so, I on the one hand, I just think that he is feeling the heat from really from the markets, and he shouldn't be, right? The markets should be the markets. The Fed needs to do what it needs to do, and the markets need to adjust to what the Fed does. It's not the other way around. The Fed shouldn't adjust to what the market wants. The market needs to adjust to what the Fed and the Fed, the FOMC committee decides about where rates should be, what their parameters are and how they make those decisions. And so I think that's the sad part about it at the moment. That the,
one word question, Kenny. Can you ever remember an independent Fed?
Well, I thought the, I thought the Fed prior to the crash, I think once the crash happened is when it all got tossed, you know, up in the air. I think prior to that, I always thought the Fed was rather independent. I think there was some pressure on the Fed, but I thought the Fed did a good job of trying to remain independent.
Well, I mean,
after the crash, when the world changed,
when in the 60s, when the idiots took us off the gold standard and to pay for the Vietnam War, the Fed capitulated and started pouring money into the system. They weren't independent even then.
Okay, but look, in the 60s, I was 3 years old, so I wasn't really paying attention.
Well, but I'm saying, if you go back in history, that I don't ever see him being, you know, do what you want, Mr. President, but guess what? We're not pouring money in. You're just going to be broke if you go over the gold standard. You know, I mean, we're not putting money into the system. I mean, they did exactly what the President wanted them to do.
Right. Well, okay, I have to go back and read history, but you know, I also think, again, you know, you can make the argument that was also a different time. It was after
Vietnam
War, right?
Well, Kenny, thank you very much, buddy. Yeah. Talk to you next week. Right, looking forward to seeing you on TV. You on today?
Next week.
Are you on today?
I'm not on today. No, I'll be on. I'm waiting to see if I'm on later this week, but I'm not on today.
All right, buddy. We'll be looking for you. Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
SP Futures up 6. NASDAQ Futures up 21. Come back, Mr. Jeff Joseph from what's that magazine?
Luckbox
magazine. It's the one right here. I'm looking right at it. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Jeff Joseph, Luckbox Magazine, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 5.25 and NASDAQ futures up 16.50. So we're looking to continue up here this morning. Individual stocks, I've got Goldman Sachs up $1.60, got Boeing up $1.89, Apple up $1.34, being up over 5 yesterday. Hey, Jeff, since you seem somewhat uniquely qualified, obviously I've been kind of following this WeWork thing, but I don't know exactly what those guys are doing. We've had a lot of problems with IPOs this year. I mean, we've had the Lyft, we've had the Uber, we've had a bunch of other ones, and that have just gone straight down pretty much after they. And I don't know what the phenomenon is with that. Obviously, the simple thing would be they're overpriced. Then there was one last week that was canceled. Right, this plane canceled the day before after the dog and pony show around the country, which has got to cost a fortune. What exactly does these WeWork guys doing? How did this thing all come apart? Were they just too early or? What do you think happened?
Too visible, too colorful, and you know the Newman story is going to be written. I'm sure this is queued up to be a great made-for-TV movie or film.
Really, that bad?
Yeah, these two, the husband and wife that are the founders and the chief executives that brought the company up to this point are colorful. They have a evangelical appeal in a way. I mean, you could see them. You can see them in front of a large congregation somewhere accepting donations. So they really kind of drummed up sentiment and excitement among their very, very young employee base. And
what exactly do they do?
Well, it's a co-office spacing, a shared office spacing, basically.
Really?
And then it became a real estate company. It's the largest landlord now in New York, and that's going to create some problems for the New York real estate market.
From renting a floor and subletting out the small groups to buying the building and doing the same thing.
And owning a lot of leases as well, right? And okay. Expanding co-working spaces, basically. And they wrapped more of a... it was more than just strictly a rental play and a co-working play. They wrapped in services and other aspects for small businesses and other types of startups and that entire economy. So they... And they were... You know, Newman, the stories are endless at this point now. I mean, he, you know, cocaine-fueled parties, alcohol at parties, company retreats with tents scattered around with the audible noises of people, the co-workers having sex, you know, till 3-4 in the morning.
So there were benefits. Behavior. There were benefits.
there were benefits. That's right. And all this is going to be very, very visible. His wife, whose name escapes me right now, she's notorious for meeting an employee on a walk by, someone to introduce, and she'd walk up to HR and say, have this person terminated immediately. I don't like their energy. So these people were out there and, they're paying the price, but who's really paying the price and what really comes into focus here is, you know, the so-called smart investor like SoftBank, right, which owns nearly a third of the Wii company. They invested in the startup at a $47 billion valuation back in January. And, you know, at one point the valuation of the IPO was intended to be somewhere around $30 billion, then it was knocked down to $9 billion, and then it was scrapped, I guess, yesterday. And that's SoftBank. And Soft, you know, WeWork kind of put the soft in SoftBank. I think it comes to light that these smart investors are just as easily hoodwinked by a colorful character as anybody else. So there's quite a story here, and, you know, it shines a bigger light on the likes of other recent IPOs like Peloton and Uber and Lyft, where you wonder, you know, is there any pathway to profitability? You'd think there was a bigger lesson back in Snap, you know, when Snap came to market several years back, where every major Wall Street investment bank was pounding the table on it, and there were a couple of journalists like mine, for example. Our editorial team just did a pre-IPO rip on the shareholder structure with the Class A and Class B structures of voting control, and panned that, and some other advocates, investor rights advocate groups, you know, panned the structure of the offering as well, but nobody cared. And young investors, particularly millennials, really took a hit on Snap because they were investing in something they knew and, you know, came to market at 30, then, you know, traded down in the single digits for quite a while, and yet nobody learned a lesson from it. And you know, Snap and Uber, Lyft, Peloton, WeWork, these are all should be more ingrained in the collective consciousness of investors, but they continue to, you
Jeff,
know,
how
chase
do you,
the next hot new thing.
It's always, you know, when you look at valuing places, people always, traditionally, especially with new places and with stuff that, let's say more, I'll use the term more idea than substance, but that doesn't mean that the idea can't be so good that it's better than substance. I mean, that can happen. You're always looking at potential income streams, correct? I mean, when you value a company, you're supposed to say, well, the guys are going to make $10, you know, 5 years from now and $20 after that. You can put a stream of payments on that, you know, capital S or a, you know, income stream, pricing model, whatever. I mean, there's formulas, there's a common sense to it. But when you start basically screwing around with real estate and you've got this lease, that lease, this building, that building, how exactly, I mean, unless I had a team of a bunch of people with totally open access and time to do, you know, essentially random sampling of the buildings and the leases and talk to a real estate person and value them and figure out if they're overvalued, undervalued. How in the hell does anybody get a clue? And I mean, you know, go back to the Sears situation with Cramer's big buddy, Eddie Lambert. Oh, you know, don't worry. There's so much real estate in Sears that it's a real estate play. It has nothing to do if they ever sell another shirt or, you know, pair of women's underwear, a guy, whatever they're doing, or auto, you know, Court Oil, or you name it, what Sears used to do everywhere. And in fact, how does somebody like me or you, where exactly do we get a run of every piece of Sears property and say, okay, we're going to do a random sample, and here's one in Oak Lawn, for instance. I don't even think they had a Sears in Oak Lawn, but say they did. Okay, we bought it in 1964 at $1 million. It's fully depreciated, and now any moron can see that property's worth $10 million. Or we bought this one like last year. We really paid up for it. And this one's worth, we paid 10 and it's worth 8. I mean, how does anybody have a clue what's on somebody's balance? And when you talk about these guys, this WeWork seems like it's even more of a problem because you've got leases going both ways. You've got buildings. How does anybody even have a clue how much that thing's worth?
Well, you're certainly right that rework is more complicated because there's many, many more, exponentially more subtenants involved in the WeWork structure.
Plus, they're a tenant in some of the places.
That's correct. So that's really hard to quantify. But on the, I would take some exception to the notion of you know, larger real estate plays. You know, there's something particularly transparent about REITs that, you know, you understand who the larger anchor tenants are. You understand where their properties are located. You can look, you know, they're very transparent portfolios.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about somebody who's straight.
Sure.
I'm talking about an Eddie Lambert that says, look at Sears Real Estate. It's worth a fortune. Just follow me.
Well,
you know, I mean, well, I don't know if it's worth a fortune. I don't know when you bought it. Some is, some isn't.
Yes,
I mean,
yes and no. But, you know, it just at the face of, though, that's counterintuitive. So I would say, all right, let's say you're a massive property owner of malls today or the likes of Sears or anchor tenant stores, and you own that property. And meanwhile, you're seeing the destruction and carnage of a brick and mortar across the country, and you see empty malls everywhere, and you realize that there's nobody that comes in to save these malls. You know, there's
right.
Some people trying to figure out residential and multi-use developments for these properties, but those are the exception. And for the most part, you know, a mall gets shuttered. So there's not an inherent, just because it's real estate doesn't mean it, there's a secondary market for it. So, you know, So I think some investor intuition there, you know, could come into play instead of just accepting the fact that, yeah, they own a lot of real estate.
I'll tell you how old I am. When you say Sears, I don't even think mall. I think standalone stores. That's where they all were when I was a kid.
Sure, of course they were. That's right.
Which was your first Sears you went to? Oh, when you were a kid.
The one that was over on Milwaukee Avenue in Niles.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that still exist?
I don't know, but you know the one it's dead and buried. But talk about a piece of property is the one that you see off the Skyway, the one that used to service all the people that worked at Southworks.
Oh yes, that's right.
I mean, that's a massive place, and what they for people cars getting oil change and stuff on a Saturday. What they have about 20 bays.
Yeah,
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, how do you? I mean, boy, talk about the Walmart before a Walmart. I mean, pretty scary stuff. But I mean, I think it's really hard to value. I mean, how would you value Baidu? It's a stream of income out of where? Bermuda? And Jack Ma owns all the assets, doesn't he? In his name, and now he just retired. What happens there? You got a retired guy with the assets in his name in China? Is that the way that worked?
I'm not certain, actually. I really don't
know. Well, because the company here couldn't take title of the assets in China, right?
Right.
So they got a stream of income.
And that's why it was denied a listing in the U.S.
For a while.
Right. Yeah.
And then the New York Stock Exchange, which will do anything, got to talk about turning into, well, I was going to say something bad, but talk about getting rid of some of their principles, shall we say.
Right.
But I, you know, I've often wondered, being in the business, and I never did. I was an index trader forever, and my clients, I have pretty much indexes unless they like stocks and so forth, and I like that. I can protect them. I can do all kinds of stuff. To me, it's a sane way of going about it, unless you absolutely know a stock that's going up. And every time I hear somebody tell me that, the thing always seems like it wants to go down. But every once in a while, we get somebody in who's got, like, you know, 100 million shares of XYZ trading at, like, 0.3 cents. How the hell does that even happen, Jeff? I mean, who goes out with 2 billion shares of stock at, like, a penny? What is the point?
Yeah.
Yet people do it.
I think yesterday Mark Cuban shared that he has over $1 billion in the Amazon stock at this point.
And is he ever going to? I'm sure he's in his mind, he's never going to sell it.
Yeah. Hard to say.
Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, the guy's got a lot of money, but that still has to be somewhat of a concentrated portfolio.
Right. I would think so.
I mean, unless he's got, let's put it this way, even if he's got $30 billion, it's a concentrated portfolio. They have, you know, whatever, 3% of your stuff in one stock.
Listen, there's always somebody out there to make a market. You know, so Baidu's at a 6-year low right now, and, you know, there's people think that that's a buy, that you got to buy the stock, even though no one can answer that question that you put forth earlier in terms of, you know, its corporate structure and its transparency and its, you know.
Well, you know, I would say that I might agree with that, but, I mean, to me, it was all the only guy I ever saw was Jack Ma. If he's gone, what do you even have? Where's the headquarters? Does anybody even know? I mean, I'm sure that somebody knows, but it just seems. Plus, you know, what makes everybody think that the Chinese government is going to, you know, just bail on those guys if they don't like us?
Yeah, maybe as a retribution for Hawaii. Or,
right. Yeah. So what's up, coming in the magazine?
Well, the current issue is on newsstands right now. That was, you know, an aggressive look at privacy and data abuses by specifically Google, Facebook, and Amazon. So Luckbox Magazine.
How did you guys get access for that?
Well, you know, our primary interview was with Roger McNamee, and we were really happy about that. So Roger McNamee, if you don't know, he's the author of a book called Zucked, which was New York Times' number one bestseller. Roger was one of the original investors in Facebook, early stage. He's the guy who notoriously told Zuckerberg, Mark, not to accept a $1 billion buyout at an early stage. And then he went and got Cheryl Lansing for her to be COO and hooked them up together. He was a pound-the-table advocate of the company and, you know, made his $1 billion from it, and then went on to form a venture capital firm called Elevation Partners with Bono from U2. And, you know, he was also the T. Rowe Price Science and Technology main portfolio manager for about a 10-year period that You know, he averaged 17% return. So he's a well-documented, successful investor. And Roger was our exclusive interview, and it was on the heels of Zucked. And he really went deep into why he has now left the investment firm and become an ongoing advocate for privacy and data abuse issues. He is a pound-the-table naysayer against Facebook right now and is openly advocating for its breakup.
Jeff, if you had to... I'm sorry to interrupt. Nope. If you had to guess, because I mean, I honestly don't know anybody who knows more about this than you. When somebody put Facebook on the table, it's sort of like, you know, PTI starts. We were, you know, a premium execution business for people mostly who traded the OEX and other places, because our guys could call right to the floor and put an order in. Nobody else could do that, right? Because I trusted my guys, and Merrill Lynch was never going to let, you know, 10,000 people call the floor. I mean, it wasn't going to happen. So it was a premier, but as time went by, we got more into money management, and people evolved. Now, how much of Facebook, I mean, if you could just paraphrase this, was we're going to get the technology, we're going to get this rolling, we're going to let people communicate with each other. How much of it is let's say Zuckerberg's a sleazeball, I mean, today, and he's got all these issues. How much of it was him from day one saying we're going to get, you know, everybody's measurements of their private parts and sell them to other people? Or how much of it is somewhere along the line them saying they have to monetize this, and somebody coming by and said, you know, if you could get people's measurements of their private parts, I could send, you know, I could custom made condoms or whatever. I mean, how much of it was suggestion along the way for money, or how much of you think was pre-thought out?
Well, in one of our early issues of Luckbox, and as you know, the magazine's only 6 months old, but in our very first issue, we had a story on Zuckerberg from an early whistleblower. And he released text messages between himself and Zuckerberg. He was one of the early Facebook employees and partners, where Zuckerberg basically said, you know, it's odd, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is really close, and it's in our first issue, his actual words. It's odd, but people trust me with their data. I know everything about everybody on this campus already. They just give it to me. I don't know why. He knew at an early stage the power okay. of the data acquisition as to what extent that was part of a premeditated plan to, you know, usurp our data and monetize it by selling it to others. You know, I think that just developed as the business developed. And then clearly a defensive strategy came into being of acquiring companies that were potentially competitive. So the WhatsApp and Instagram app acquisitions, that was clearly, you know, to defend the company against competitors. And that became a strategy. They bought 15 companies in the last 6 years. But he knew at an early stage the power of the data that he was acquiring.
Okay, because, I mean, I always contrast that with one of the guys that, you know, has been in the business long as me. Well, he was in jail for a while, though. I was not. Who was the guy from Drexel Burnham? I always forget the guy's name. He's back being big shot on TV. We'll think of it. Yeah. But, I mean, in terms of the industry, he was a stone-cold genius. Because in those days, I mean, I'm way back in the day, if you had a firm that needed money, like today, like you've been talking about, you either went to the Solomon, Goldman, Morgan Stanley triumvirate and basically got pantsed, or you went to a big bank, and if you weren't one of the big players, they either said no or you sort of got pantsed there.
Milken.
Yeah, Milken. And he devised something called, well, he didn't call them junk bonds, he called them they weren't subprime. They were subprime bonds. But he didn't just say, hey, Jeff, buy, you know, $1 million of this, you know, Tom Howell's new golf course. He would say, these things are paying more. The return is probably going to be more, but I'm going to put you together with a package of 20 of them because the rate's going to be 12%. And by the way, if two of them go under the 20, you're still going to do better than if you did it in something safe. And in his track record over a period of time, very few of these places actually went under, and people did very, very well on those bonds. Okay, so he goes from being genius to now being sitting in the corner office puffing on the big cigar, and all of a sudden all these dastardly deeds come across him, and people are now looking for him because he's taken some of their business. And I think they somewhat set him up with an insider trading deal. And he basically got walked into that, and that's what he went to jail for. Nothing having to do with the junk bonds or whatever. Now, you're saying Zuckerberg was not like that. Early on, he figured out he had something to sell.
That's not exactly the way McNamee tells it.
Okay.
He paints a picture that he was just more corrupted by the power and money and staying on top, and that he's driven to stay on top. But the record does show that he knew he sensed early the ability of people's willingness to trade privacy for convenience. And that's really the Faustian trade here. People giving up their privacy and their data for convenience and visibility. And ego as well. So he understood that trade very, very early. It's a great interview with McNamee. And
well,
I
can only imagine some of the, you know, just to be, you know, clean as all get out. If I have an ad for shake and bake chicken, if you could squeeze your stuff and find out all the wives in the last, or not just wives, could be guys at home, texting or using Facebook to say their significant others, I'm cooking chicken at home, I'd rather only send my ad to those people, and that people that say they hate chicken. Right?
That's right, and that's the extent of the data they have. Remember,
yeah.
So to take that a step further, Facebook, because of the advertising and the interaction that people have with advertising and with content, even more so with content, it allowed a firm like Cambridge Analytica to develop 5,000 data points. Think about that. I don't know 5,000 data points about myself. I can't think of 100 unique things about myself. But Cambridge Analytica developed 5,000 data points on 89 million people and sold that data to the Republican Party.
Wow. Well, I mean, for me...
And it was all enabled by Facebook.
Well, for my investment advisor business, can you imagine... I mean, first of all, I'm not enough of a sleazebag to do this, but you imagine if I could walk into some place and say, you've got data on 400 million people, I want to only send investment advisor ads to people in the last month that have said that they have over $1 million, somehow have hinted they got over $1 million, and, oh, by the way, are pissed off at their investment advisor. can you imagine how much better that would be than just a blanket, here, charge me a penny a person and send it to the whole world?
Well, if you're not doing that, you're way behind.
Yeah, I understand. I get it, but I just, you know, it's not in my DNA.
Sure.
But I'm sitting there going, you know, how many people, if you could send tire ads, the only people who had a flat tire in the last week, I got to believe you'd do better.
All right, but if it's not in your DNA, at least have it on your radio show. So for what it's worth, if you have over $1 million and you're pissed off at your investment advisor, give Chief a call.
Thank you. So now, should we embarrass Maddie? Maddie, who's Faust?
I know Faust.
Not the quarterback. He was Faust, right?
Dan Fouts, yeah. No, he was the German guy. The
was a playwright, wasn't he?
Yeah, was he a playwright?
I think he was a
writer,
wasn't he? Well, writer and playwright. Well, those guys all wrote plays, didn't they?
I just remember he would exchange his soul or something for unlimited.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, he was a Christopher Marlowe character.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the other guy. Who was the writer that was? There's a Faust who was a writer too. We'll dig it out. But yeah, that happened in it happened. What was the movie? Damn Yankees. Remember that movie?
Sure, but I don't remember Faust.
Oh, when Lola, he sold his soul so he'd become the outfielder. The centers could finally beat the Yankees. Remember that?
I never saw that movie.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's classic. It is classic. SP Futures up 7. SP Futures up 22. How do we get to that? We get anywhere on this show. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox.
The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
Hello, NoFX, Stocks and Jocks. Tom Howie's Mr. Mel Weber on the board. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph, Luckbox Magazine, in with us, as he is every Tuesday. And, boy, we get some serious knowledge here today. Not that we don't all the time, but we sure are today. SP Futures, 6.25. Now, make that 8.25. NASDAQ Futures up 27.50. We're pretty strong this week. And I hate like hell to be this conspiracy kind of guy, but for God's sake, Jeff, on Friday, we're hanging along slow as hell. All of a sudden, this thing comes out about we're going to stop U.S. companies from investing in China. We puked 20 points in the spools. Then Navarro, is he our Rasputin or what? He comes out yesterday morning and says that was all fake news. We never said that. We're back up the same 20. I mean, boy, I wish I was privy to this. I think I'd be,
What do they say? In bridge, one peak is worth 10 good finesses or something? A Dow futures up 51.
You're a bridge player?
My mom was a great bridge player. Yeah. I taught everybody to play in college. I don't think I've played since.
Uh-huh.
Nikkei up 129.6%. Hang Seng up 137.5%. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 10. Call that flat. FTSE down 2. Call that flat. CAC around down 7. Let's give that a 0.1%, but not much going on over there. Big number here today. It's actually come back a little bit here, but the Japan was up to minus 0.14, Jeff. I haven't seen it that high in a long time. It's backed off here to be minus 0.16. I'm never getting used to these negative numbers on interest rate. Blend is minus 0.52 and our stuff's 1.74. So all these have really moved in a positive direction, less negative for two of them in the last, really since the Fed made their move. Which is somewhat odd. They lowered those short-term rates. The long-term rates are actually going up in these places. We've got oil making somewhat of a move. They're up 45 cents, 54.52. Brent up 49 cents. RBOB gas, 158. As you can pay $3.50 in the city for gas. That's scary.
Yeah.
Natural gas, 232. I'm going to say that's a buy. If we get a cold snap 6 weeks from now, that'll be $3, Jeff, like it was last year. But maybe we won't get a cold snap. We got gold up a little bit. Well, actually, now it's down a buck and a half. 14.71. We got silver up 16 cents. 17.16. Maybe we got for us traffic, weather, sports. By the way, they did give me the call. I said if they didn't change the ownership and the general manager, I would not be the manager.
Are you talking about the Cubs?
Yes.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues this morning. In fact, slow travel times throughout the morning. Kennedy got off to a terrible start. There's no more accidents or stalled vehicles, but the Kennedy, an hour and 15 minutes from O'Hara into downtown. Eisenhower, not much better. There's a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane on the inbound side at Ashland. Route 390 to the old post office is up to an hour and 22 minutes. From Mannheim, it's an hour and 1 minute. So the Kennedy and Eisenhower are basically parking lots this morning, which is affecting the Edens as well. So not great there. Stevenson, Southside Expressways are looking okay. Suburban Tollways are normal. Off the expressways, we have a crash at Harlem and 43rd. But everything else is good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, hot and humid, just like yesterday. Unseasonably warm, a high of 85 degrees, which is 17 degrees above normal. Right now it's crystal clear and 74 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 89 today. Right now it's clear and 65. Yes, it's warmer in Chicago than it is in Phoenix. In sports, as we mentioned earlier, Mitchell Trubisky got probably the best possible news he could get. No surgery required. He did dislocate his left shoulder and partially tore his labrum, but they're thinking he'll miss this game coming up in London and then have the bye week, and he may be ready to go after that. So that's good news for the Bears. Monday Night Football last night, it was the Steelers all over the Bengals, 27-3. Major League Baseball playoffs get underway this evening. It'll be the NL wildcard game at 7:08 p.m. between the Brewers at the Washington Nationals. Chief.
Actually, Maddie, I did get the call, and I said I had to bring two people with me. I had to bring Maddie Weber as my official stat guy, and I had to bring J.D. Wiff to stare at people like he was going to kill them if they don't hustle, and they said those are two deal breakers. You're out.
Yeah, that sucks. By the way, Natachi writes in, there is at least one retired literature professor who is banging his head on the table listening to you guys talk about Faust.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, well.
I think I was the closest. I at least remembered that he was German and he sold his soul to the devil. I couldn't remember anything else.
Well, it was a Christopher Marlowe play that Faust originally came up in.
Well, he was a Shakespeare, right? Too, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's a Shakespeare reference. But then the Mephistopheles, the Faustian trade with the devil came out of, what was it, Dr. Faustus? Right?
Yeah.
But hey, Manny, I got a question for you. What do you know, what's this, you just made a reference to the old post office, but you're not going to be able to say that much longer because that old post office, you know, $800 million has been invested in that big empty building that's been sitting there since 1997.
That I'm looking at right now out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, it is right outside the window. Right. So what, coincidentally, I know that WeWork is supposed to be one of the big tenants, and SIBO is moving their offices.
But the biggest tenant is Uber, 450,000 square feet, and the people just lost, what, $5 billion last quarter? There's a lease that's suspicious.
Whose building is that? Who's doing that development?
There was a guy who went to auction and he paid up for it in auction. Not paid up. He was a winning bidder, And a few months later, he said, screw it, that's too much money. Then, like a year later, they gave it to him at a lower price. Then I think he bailed again. Then I think he went off for auction again. There were many iterations, and as to who the last man standing was, I have no idea.
And I believe it's open now, or just about to open?
Every morning, there's still 200 construction guys going in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can drive.
By the way, Walgreens has 200,000 square feet in there as well, 1,800 employees.
Well, you used to be able to drive up to the floors inside and park right by your place, because the post office trucks could actually run up and down then inside the place. So I wonder if that, you know, like if the Google executives get to drive up to their floor.
Yeah.
And why would anybody want to be there? The windows look terrible. There's no L lines.
I assume they're going to put some money into that part of it, but the lack of, if you're coming in from the suburbs, it's probably very convenient right off the metro, right?
Well,
yes. It's a short walk, but
only from Union Station.
That's what I mean.
Okay, but from this one here, how do you even get there from here?
I remember, and this goes way, way back. This would be back 50 years, but I remember on tax day, they would come down from the post office and people would be driving in, and they'd have people standing outside accepting tax returns the night before taxes were due to mail them, to get them postmarked. And they'd come out, they'd be outside on the, you would drive through, it'd almost be like a valet lane.
Oh, yeah.
And you would drive through your, and there'd be post office people standing outside to take your return so they could be postmarked.
I'm just reading the Wikipedia here, which is pretty interesting, and apparently the building was built in 1921, but it was expanded greatly because there was such a mail service demand in Chicago because of why, Chief? I'll do one of yours where I have the answer in front of me and you don't.
Mail service, got to be because of the railroad.
It's because of Montgomery Ward.
Okay.
The demand was so high for mail delivery, they had to expand the post office.
Why wasn't Sears the same issue?
Well, that probably came into play as well, but we're talking about the 20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, they had on yesterday, but how many buildings in New York have their own zip code?
It's crazy.
Go ahead. You weren't finished.
No, I was finished. I was just saying that was interesting. But it looks like a lot of huge companies are moving into this place. We drive by it every morning coming in here because it's, like I said, right outside the window. And you see, five dozen or more construction workers lined up every day getting ready to go in there and work on whatever they're working on?
We did that line once. Without people listening to the show forever will know what I'm talking about, but I will not be specific. Let's just say we have a contributor from time to time. He used to be on every week, and might once in a while played football. And all of a sudden, he says, "By the way, I should probably get my tax thing in." And I said, "I don't think about taxes." So we were at my brother's house at like 9 o'clock on the 15th. He's got 5 years he hasn't done, and my brother goes. You know, every year they owe you money. What are you, some kind of idiot? So we had to be the only people in line at 11:58 as we run downtown and to put these things in. We had to be the only people in line where a guy was giving them 5 returns and every one of them he deserved a check.
Mean, do they penalize you for that?
No, not if they owe you money. There's no penalty.
Well, it seems like there would still be a penalty.
There isn't. No, you just
was he not filing at all?
No, he's never filed them.
I thought if you didn't file, whether they owe you or not, there was a penalty.
There might be, but I don't think so. Is there, Jeff? I mean,
I don't know.
I don't think if you owe them, I don't think there is. It didn't used to be anyway.
By the way, before you guys were talking about WeWork, my company 2 years ago we renovated our building space at 70 West Madison, and we did it a section at a time. And when it was your turn for your section of, you know, let's say 50 employees, they had the WeWork space on. What is that? Clark and I guess maybe Adams. And so I lived in a WeWork space for, not lived, but worked in a WeWork space for 6 months. And they had wine and beer and coffee on tap at all times, which was nice. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday, they would do some sort of like employee appreciation. Like, hey, come on down. We have a meat and cheese plate. Or come on down. We're doing... some sort of cookies, you know, that we brought cookies in, or we brought some sort of ice cream tasting, and then we're showing a movie over the lunch break today, or we're going to live stream, you know, NCAA tournament or something. It was very like
It was interesting. I mean, it was a great experience, actually.
Sure. Great great for the people there, not great for the investors.
Not great for the investors.
After a $10 billion investment from SoftBank, they're going to run out of money in the first quarter.
That's
crazy. Buy a $62 million Gulfstream for the Newmans, you know. they definitely needed that. They bought 19 companies over the last 2 years, including a wave pool for surfers, just because he's a surfing fanatic. That company's a mess. It's going to be a hell of a story.
The more you read about it, it's just insane. Yeah. But, it was that particular branch, it seemed very well run, and the employees seemed happy, and it was a very good experience. I could see why people could get roped into that and believe this guy's message, because it seemed like a good culture, but obviously it wasn't.
Yeah.
What was the Hollinger guy? He had the huge party in France where he had, what was the band that he brought in for all kind of money? But they had a vodka fountain. They did an ice fountain where the vodka came out the statue's male appendage.
Nice. That's what you want.
And that's where you filled up your vodka.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Now, where would you go on the Yellow Pages to find somebody who could make that for you? what would the title of the company be? you wonder how people even conceive of this stuff, but I still think that building is kind of the CBOE. Without taking a shot at my former place, are they doing this just because there's no coming back? That someday somewhere somebody's not going to get in Washington and say we don't need 17 preferential exchanges. We want to drive the competition back into competing for the price on the individual order instead of competing for payment for order flow and. Get some people back on the trading floor, all with electronic enhancements, of course. They went there. Are they burning the bridges, Jeff?
Can't tell you. I don't know. What do you think?
I think yes.
You think so?
Yeah. Why would you have everybody in a convenient spot like that where the L and the train pulls right into the building damn near? If you were to walk to the post office here, how would you even go there? We can see the place. You walk up to Harrison, you get on Van Buren. You're not going to walk down the expressway.
I recently we had to be there for the magazine for our periodical permit, and you actually have to call on a phone from the lobby, and they come down and get you. There was no real entrance into the post office. It was a weird thing.
If I go on the Van Buren side, and the office I'm going to is on the Harrison side, I don't think I can even walk through. I think there's roadways going up in the middle.
Yeah, that might change, though. Right.
I think there has to be a lot more work to be done because it's pretty inaccessible right now. By the way, we're getting all kinds of tweets asking, since you haven't talked to Jeff about the impeachment proceedings, people want his thoughts on that. We've asked everyone else.
Jeff, fire away.
Well, it's a tough one. I don't think it's in fact, we're just polling the Luckbox readers right now. So if you have a free subscription because you're a Stocks and Jocks listener, you can go to luckboxmagazine.com and we have that as a survey question. And the question was politically speaking, not speaking to the president's potential guilt or innocence on this matter, but politically speaking, is it a wise move, the Democratic-led House initiative to impeach the president? Is it a wise move? And ranking it from one being it's not a wise move politically to five being it's a wise move politically, the answer's coming in two across a well-populated survey. So from that perspective, I would agree that this may be a huge backfire. Listen, without getting into the president, his character, whether or not you're a fan of his policies or not, and just speaking about this from a political standpoint, I don't think the simple question, does that phone call rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors? Was it misguided? Was it stupid? Was it wrong for a president to go down that path? I would say yes to all of the above. Is it a high crime and misdemeanor? I think the answer has to be no. I think any single sitting president has engaged in much more nefarious activity than that. That theory of relativism isn't probably the best way to approach our political problems because it exposes our biases. But if the simple question is it a high crime and misdemeanor, the answer invariably must be no. And not because there's no quid pro quo. Those aren't the questions. So I don't think it's a wise political move. I think it will mobilize a desensitized Trump Republican supporting party and get them back in the game because because it, right now it's really hard to be a supporter of the president because he's such an arrogant, narcissistic, ignorant blowhard on so many different ways. You might like his policies, but you just... It's easy.
A high price to pay for those policies.
It's an easy thing to really dislike the man. Yet this is the kind of thing that engages people, you know, not to mention on a lot of, you know, Elizabeth Warren, who now looks to be the go-to candidate according to the prediction markets, which we're covering right now at Luckbox Magazine. We're looking very closely at the prediction markets right now. And she seems to be the heir apparent. You know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a smart move.
Let me turn the bus around a little bit on you. Not turn the bus around, but this is an investigation. At this level, that's all it is. Of course, everybody in the country has already made... I mean, I've gotten tweets from the deep state in Ukraine, and Hillary's emails are buried. Over. I mean, these people are off the chart. This is their daily job today now on the right wing, and I'm sure there's left-wing people that if I look closer, I'm probably getting some of those, too. Is there any chance, I mean, is there any chance that America could just say, you know what, there appears to be a little bit of evidence here, it's just an investigation, and that people would somehow trust the Democrats in Congress around those committees, because it's, you're talking about the two most senior committees in the House, the Judiciary Committee and the, what's the other one, the Intelligence Committee.
Yep.
The two most senior committees. Can you trust those people to say, I don't know whose idea this was, but it doesn't look to me like there's enough evidence here for high crimes and misdemeanors, just what you just said. We're not recommending you go any further. Is there any, and then, if there's evidence, well, by the way, somebody this morning, with the Australian guy, said he got shaken down too, or something. I just don't anybody go anywhere with that one, because I just spotted it before I was on the show. Now, what if there is way more evidence?
Okay. I think it's a naive assertion to say that it's just an investigation. I think this is just...
Well, what I'm saying...
It's just politics. And we've had nothing but investigations.
Well, but...
We've seen a transcript. Does this rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors?
We don't know that that's it. I doubt very seriously that the Intelligence Committee is looking at that transcript. They've got to be looking at something else. But what I'm saying, the point being, is that if we don't... I'm trying to get to a conclusion here, and I'm in trouble.
Sure.
But I'm saying if there is enough evidence, okay, in somebody's mind, and it turns out there's way more than that transcript, or maybe way more than we thought, and people come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, the guy tried to shake me down too for like a hotel. I'm not saying it's there. But now if that goes to the evidence, or to the Senate, with overwhelming evidence, do you think you can trust the Republicans there and say, this is too much, the guy's got to go? I mean, but my point, Jeff, is I happen to agree with you totally on this, by the way. From what I've seen so far, it doesn't look like anything he hasn't done before or wouldn't do tomorrow, right? I mean, or other people probably have done. And I think Joe Biden Jr. is not a sympathetic character. But my point being is, if we get to the point where we absolutely do not trust the system at all, that everybody has figured out whether somebody's guilty or innocent before they go in front of a jury, mm-hmm. before you've heard the... Where does that put us? If every single time the court of public opinion is way ahead of the system, and we don't trust the system, and everybody's biased, and they're all bleeps. I mean, that puts us like a bunch of morons.
But that's where we are.
But I mean, but I don't want to be there.
But that's where we are. I mean, you always hear about fake news, but what were the... And listen, I am no supporter of the president, but I call out hypocrisies when I see them. So what have been the top fake news stories of the year? We talk about fake news all the time. Without question, the number one fake news story was Russia collusion. Without question. Maybe number two was that the border problem is not a crisis. That was being purveyed for a long time, and then they say, okay, it is a crisis, but it's a humanitarian crisis. And maybe number three was that Kavanaugh was a serial abuser, right? I mean, those are the top fake news stories of the years, and nobody, regardless of their politics, can really disagree with those stories because none of them really turn out to be true.
I will say I'll disagree with one of them. I'll disagree with the one about, I think the only reason why the Russia collusion wasn't there is I don't think him and his people tried, but they couldn't figure it out. We've never had anybody come out on national TV in a debate and implore the head of essentially an enemy to hack somebody's emails like he did on national TV.
Oh, I remember that statement, and I think that's completely consistent with his inarticulate, uneducated oratory.
But what I'm saying, I don't want that.
We don't want it at all. Why do you think there's so much apathy against this president? He's an absolute embarrassment in terms of how he holds himself
in
the office.
I never thought there was this quote.
But I never took that seriously. Did you really say he was?
I'm saying that was a signal to
go ahead and hack Hillary.
His people did nothing but meet. I'm saying they failed miserably at it. But it wasn't. They did the Blagojevich thing.
Sure.
Blagojevich never got any money either. Yeah. He's in jail.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I'm saying, you're right about the hypocrisy part. It wasn't like if the Russian guy wouldn't have come to the son-in-law's meeting and had stuff, they wouldn't have grabbed it.
Oh, of course. And we heard Adam.
Yeah.
We heard Adam Schiff on the phone about the naked pictures of the president. Right. That's a great recording. You know.
No, but I guess my question to you is, I don't think you're a moral relativist. When I grew up, if you're going 85 and a 70. And you can point to three guys the day before that were going 90. Huh. That's when the cop says, I'll try harder tomorrow to get them. It's not a get out of jail card for you.
Agreed.
But in this society, it's getting to be. If I can name a Democrat or a Republican that did worse, I mean, right now, what if somebody comes up from the deep state and says, you know, I saw Hubert Humphrey or George McGovern looking in the classified ads in the library because there was no internet under second story burglars. And he just couldn't find one. Now, does that make Tricky Dick innocent?
No, of course not.
So, I mean, I'm with you. I think we're way too close to the election. Just let the economic...
But I just go back to that simple question. Does this rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors?
My answer is, if you look at the Constitution, my answer is, we don't know yet. Because we don't know what they got.
Well, and that was the answer for 2,000 witnesses, $25 million, 2 years of stalled legislative activity as we went through the Mueller investigation.
Well, but he never came out. There was no get out of jail free card there either. He said there's a lot of nasty activity that didn't rise to the level of an indictment.
Well,
but you could do an awful lot of stuff in this country and not rise to the level of indictment.
So there was no collusion, but obstruction wasn't clear. So that,
yeah,
right, right.
And you know what? You're right. It was a lot of money. And at the end of the day, I'm not saying there shouldn't have been an investigation. But I trusted Mueller to come out and do the right thing, and I think he did.
Right. But doesn't anybody care about the fact that there has been no legislation on what is truly a border crisis? That there, you know, I mean, we have a homeless crisis across the country. Has anything been done about health care? And because it's all politics. I mean, this is...
Well, there's been...
I thought
Adam... There's been no prescription drug relief.
That's right.
There's been no... We're still buying Air Force One, right? We didn't cut the price of that. Every campaign promise is basically down a rattle. And I'm not saying it's because of him. It's because I don't think collectively they can take on big companies and they can't solve this stuff.
Right.
Right? It appears that whoever it is, him or the Democrats... They're more than happy to spend another 5 months arguing about stuff instead of doing anything, right? It appears,
yeah.
But I don't buy this. I mean, the only disagreement we're having is this: if there is some sort of something that shows that somebody might have done something, and you investigate and come out and say no, they didn't do it, I don't necessarily think that the entire investigation was. Should not have happened, Jeff. I mean, I don't trust the system any more than you do. And I bet we could both drink adult beverages for a week and give examples and poke at holes where it didn't work. I'm just trying to say, what if we didn't have it? If we absolutely don't trust it at all, where are we? Back before the Magna Carta?
I don't disagree with you on that. Yeah.
I honestly think, I hope, that in those two committees, it should be the best guys in Congress, that if they don't have enough evidence, they have the stones to come out and say it. And you know what? If they come out and say...
Well, you lost me at best guys in Congress.
Well, but I'm saying those should be the most seasoned people that make it to those committees, is what I'm saying.
Well, please. I mean, there's a half a dozen instances where that's not the case. If you think Adam Schiff's parody reading of the transcript is an indication of the best of anything,
the operative word there was should.
Yeah.
If you're some dum-dum, hopefully you're not on the House Select Intelligence Committee.
Well, I think that ship has sailed.
Well, but then where do we go? Revolution?
Don't be surprised.
I'm not surprised. I'm just saying if we think the system's that broken, we're starting in the wrong place to fix it. Right. S&P futures up 8. Hey, good job, guys. S&P futures up 8. S&P futures up 25. I don't know if we solved anything. We sure asked a lot of questions. We'll be back tomorrow on Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.